fascinating sikha for a number of reasons. So it's a Rashi sikha from Parshas Nitzavim. I'm sorry, I should have given an intro. We're in Chelek Yudalid. We're Nitzavim Beis. My name is Rivki Kaplan. I'm speaking to you from Tzfat, Israel. And as I started saying, this is a Rashi sikha. It's actually what I would call a short, sweet, and to the point style Rashi sikha. The whole sikha is covered in 4 pages. And yet it packs a very, very powerful message, especially this time of the year, especially as we prepare for Chayelol and, of course, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and everything that's included, in that. So the pasuk starts off, Parshas Nitzavim. I'm going to just read to you the first 2 psukim of the Parsha so we get a sense of what we're talking about. And of course, the Rashi on which the Sicha is based, right? So the pasuk tells us, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Alekechem. You're all standing today before Hashem. Roshechem Shifteichem. The heads of your Shvatim. Zikneichem, your elders. Vishatvechem, your officials. Kol Ish Yisrael. And then it continues. Tapchem, your children. Sheichem, your women. The Gercha and the convert. Okay, notice how it went into singular term because that's going to play an important detail later. Asher Bekerv Machanecha, that lives amongst you. Mechoite Veitzecha, from the wood chopper ad shoyev meimecha, until the water carrier, the water drawer, okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu lists a number of people that are standing now in preparation to make a bris with the Eibush there regarding keeping Torah mitzvahs, etc. And he lists a number of people that are, of course, included in this standing before the Eibush there. And we hear about the heads of the Shvatim, the elders, the officials, the children, the wives, the convert, and then the wood chopper and the water carrier. So on the words, Mechayte Veitzecha, the wood chopper, Rashi writes, and I'll read it inside, Melameid Shaboyu Knanim, the Skyer Bimei Moshe, Tederech Shaboyu Gibainim Bimei Yahushua, to teach us that Knanim came to be Miskayer in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, just like Gibainim would come in the days of Yeshua. V'zeha Amar B'Gibainim, and regarding the Gibainim, the story that took place in the times of Yeshua, what does it read? And the Rashi brings a quote from the Sefer Yeshua, V'yasu gan heima v'arma, and they too came in trickery. And then the Rashi goes back to talking about our situation after quoting Yehoshua and says, Moshe Rabbeinu gave them, these Knanim that came to be Miskayer, he gave them the role of being the wood choppers and the water carriers. Now some of the commentaries on Rashi say that Rashi's intention is along the lines of the Tanchuma. Those of you that have been studying Rashi Sichas long enough, or even Rashi, what's the fun of learning a Rashi without the Sicha, right? You're familiar that Rashi is often based on the Tanchuma. However, it's not surprising when he sort of veers and quotes the Tanchuma, but not word for word. However, the commentaries, before the Rebbe is going to bring his interpretation, the Rebbe first bring the commentaries interpretation of Rashi, and they say that Rashi's intention is that the Taka came, but Moshe was not Megayer them, and instead he said, okay, you want to be a part of our, you know, our tribe, our movement, so to speak. Okay, you know what? You will serve us. You will be a part of this. You will be the water carriers and the wood choppers. The Rebbe says that clearly Rashi is not agreeing directly with the words of the Tanchuma, although he's loosely based on the Tanchuma. Why? The Rebbe brings 2 very distinct proofs. First of all, Rashi clearly says, Shabayu Knanim Miskayer. The Knanim came with the intention of being Miskayer. And Rashi, which the Tanchuma doesn't mention, and Rashi intentionally deletes the words that the Tanchuma does bring, Shaloi Kiblon, that he didn't receive them. So clearly, Lishitas Rashi, which is based on the Pshutei Shel Mikra, right, because that's Rashi's primary purpose, Moshe did actually accept them, and he allowed them to be Miskayer, okay? So now at least we understand that what Rashi is telling us is actually quite literal, that he accepted them. And Rashi compares what happened at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu to what would happen later on with Yehoshua. And we'll talk about those comparisons a little further on into the Sicha, right? However, with that in mind, a number of questions are asked. And we have three questions in this particular Sicha. And the first question is, how does Rashi know that the Pasuk is including the water carriers and the wood choppers under the general category of Geirim? Because the Pasuk reads, right, V'gercha asher bekerv machanecha, and then it goes on to say, M'choyte v'itzecha ad shoyev meimecha. So if it already mentioned Geirim, just like it's safe to assume that anybody, regardless of what job they had, if they were a ger, they were included in the general mention of V'gercha asher bekerv machanecha. And so if Rashi is then singling out the wood choppers and the water carriers, could it be possible that they're not actually Geirim, but they were, unique, different to the Geirim, which is why they're being singled out, which would then align more with what the Tanhuma said and less with the Rebbe's interpretation of the Rashi, okay? And the second question the Rebbe asks is, why does Rashi use the word Melamed? So Rashi opens up his commentary by saying Melamed to teach us, right? Now, he could have omitted that word, and he could have just said Shabayu Knanim. Again, Rashi is very, very concise and very precise. So every word here is teaching us something. So the word Melame to teach us, what is it here to teach us, if seemingly the same message would have been successfully transmitted without the use of that word, okay? And then the third question that we have here is, Rashi copies down the words from Yehoshua, and he says, just looking at Gan Hema, Vayasu Gan Hema Ba'arma. And the Rebbe says, could Rashi have just achieved his motive by just saying Vayasu Gan Hema, meaning the same thing happened by Yehoshua? Why does Rashi have to include the word Ba'arma? Ba'arma means in trickery. And I'm just going to take a moment to talk about what actually happened, sort of parenthetically, because it'll come up again. What actually happened at the time of Yehoshua? Actually, you know what? Hold that thought a minute. We'll come back to it when it's in a more appropriate place in the Sicha. Okay, so that was our third question. So the first question was, how does Rashi know from the Pshat that the water carriers and the wood choppers were Geirim, when it seems like the word Geirim should have included all types, and the fact that they're being mentioned in addition would be that they're in a different category? So that was our first question. Our second question was, what is to be learned from the word melamed? And our third question was, why does Rashi also copy down the word ba'arma when describing what happened by Yehoshua, when it seems that it would have been suffice to just have copied down the words vayasu gam hema? Okay? Again, giving us an insight to how concise Rashi's commentary is and how each word really packs a punch. Okay? So in Ice Base, those of you that want to then look inside to learn this, the Rebbe begins to answer those questions. And the Rebbe says, regarding question number one, how do we know that they're Geirim? The Rebbe says, well, read the Pasuk carefully. And you'll see in the Pshat that it's actually quite obvious. Why? Because the Pasuk is addressing, remember, V'atem nitzavim kulchem hayom, right? Where were they standing? They were standing in preparation to make a bris regarding Torah and Mitzvahs. So obviously, anyone that's standing there is part of Am Yisrael. They're part of those that are under the achrayas to be keeping Torah and Mitzvahs. So clearly, we have to be talking about somebody, we have to be talking about Geirim here, right? In addition, and I mentioned this when I read the Pasuk the first time, we notice how the terminology switches from plural to singular. First, it's like Roshe Noseichem, and then in our process, it's tapchem, nesheichem, etc. And then it goes v'gercha, right? Mechoyte v'itzecha, shoyim me'mecha. It becomes singular. So Rashi tells us, so first of all, we know that everybody that was standing over here is included in all of Klal Yisrael. And within the category of Klal Yisrael, we mention in the pasuk the Geirim. As soon as we mention the Geirim, we merge into a singular choice of terminology, and then we continue in that singular choice of terminology. So clearly, they're connecting one to the other. In addition, the Rebbe says the way the pasuk is read, "Begerach Hashem beker machanecha michoy tevitzecha," from the wood choppers up until the water carriers. Clearly, we're talking about one kind of group. Otherwise, you wouldn't have that mem from this until that. Each one would sort of have been separated with almost like a comma, if you will, right? Your figurative comma to put each one in their separate category. So the fact that it goes singular, and the fact that we have this clearly is telling us that yes, we're talking about Geirim, and yes, we're talking about somebody who was included in Am Yisrael, and yes, it's Geirim, meaning v'gerach asher b'kerev machanecha, including those Geirim that are wood choppers and water carriers. Which, of course, then begs the following question, right? Why is the Torah singling out these Geirim just because, you know, of their difficult work? Okay, so, you know, you want to call them blue-collar workers? Like, but you know what? Like we saw as a result of the pandemic, the essential workers are sometimes a lot more critical, you know, than the university professors. So just because they happen to have, you know, been the ones that had to earn their living through a very difficult menial labor, why are we singling them out? So the Rebbe quickly answers that and says, clearly there has to be something unique about them. It's not the Chas V'Shalom, the Torah is talking about them in a derogatory manner, but the Torah is drawing attention to something unique about the water carriers and the wood choppers and singles them out, okay? But also, okay, so true. So the Torah is drawing attention to them, but which then, of course, leads us to our next question. But why now? We spoke about Geirim earlier. Moshe has addressed the Geirim and the sensitivities that we have to about them. And if there's something unique specifically about those Geirim that are wood choppers and water carriers that we have to be perhaps even more sensitive to, why wasn't that mentioned earlier? Why is it only being mentioned now as they prepare to go into Eretz Yisrael, you know? As they're sort of getting their final instructions from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So clearly, it's because it only happened now. This whole situation of water carriers and wood choppers becoming Geirim is being mentioned now because this is when it happens. And how does Rashi know that? Because Rashi explains, we find what the expression is, a chaver b'mikra, like a friend in the pasuk. We find something very similar regarding Yehoshua. What happened during the times of Yehoshua? Of course, we know that Yehoshua takes over the leadership, and he's the one that actually enters Eretz Yisrael with Bnei Yisrael after the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And with Yehoshua, the story goes that as they were preparing, this is spelled out right up in the Pesukim, right? So if you open up Yehoshua, and I believe it shows up in Perek Tes, and you can see this for yourselves, actually a fascinating story, a wild conspiracy story, where as Yehoshua and Bnei Yisrael prepare to enter Eretz Yisrael, you know, they have like a very clear list of nations who they're not to make peace with, but instead they are supposed to wage battle with them. And there's a nation that is on the list that they're not to make peace with, and they come up with a very cunning plan. And they dress themselves up as if they're travelers that are coming from a very, very distant land. And they take their water flasks, for example, and they dry them out in the sun, and they break their sandals, and they put on tattered clothing to look as if they have traveled from very, very far. And they approach Yehoshua, and they ask Yehoshua to make peace with them. Now, under the impression that they have come from very far, they think, oh, it's okay to make peace with them. They're not of the nations that we have to wage war with. So they make peace with them, and then shortly thereafter, it becomes very obvious that they have made peace with a neighboring enemy that is forever on going to give them tsaros, right? Just to add a little bit of politics in here, you know, those who learn not the lessons of history are deemed to repeat them, but we'll leave it at that. Okay, so that's the story that happens during the times of Yehoshua. So
So I skipped an important detail. When they approach Yeshua, they say to Yeshua, we've traveled from far and we want to be Miskaya, we want to make peace with you. And Yeshua says, I can't be Miskaya you. And so Yeshua says, I want to make, yes, we will make peace with you. Not be Miskaya, I'm sorry about that. They say, we want to make peace with you. So Yeshua makes peace with you. And then when they kaka find out that, that they're the neighbors and, now they're in a quandary. Because they've made peace with it, and you can't. They're, you know, we don't go back on our word. Peace is something, even though it was done in a cunning manner. Nevertheless, so what happens is, so Yeshua tells them, he kind of has this compromise with them, where he tells them, okay, you know, you tricked us, and we're not going to destroy you through war, but instead, you have to become our servants. You have to become our water carriers and our wood choppers, right? So when Rashi sees these words in the Psukim, and the Psukim mention V'gerecha asher b'kerev machanecha, and then it goes on to say M'choyte v'tzecha ad shoyev me'mecha, Rashi says something's being called to our attention over here. We know that we're talking about Geirim, but why are these specific Geirim being singled out? What is unique about them? So Rashi then finds this story in Yehoshua and he understands in the story of Yehoshua, which is much more elaborated on in the Psukim themselves, and it's spelled out. So to here, he understands that, that the same similar situations had happened. And that meaning similar in the sense that this takes place just as B'nai Yisrael is about to enter the land and they're like at the peak of their might and the nations of the world are in awe about of them and they've been victorious in their battles. So the Kananim approach them kind of under this like celebrity, you know, fan, you know, what's the word, the celebrity status that B'nai Yisrael is now experiencing. And that's the Canaan approached them at during that point, which is exactly what would happen during the times of the Yeshua, where they're also approached as they're even that much closer to the land and about to go in, right? So it's amazing because all of this is in the, it is in the Pshat, but without the Rashi, we wouldn't understand where and how to be looking to understand the story behind and in between the lines, right? So, and how does Rashi come to that? Because Rashi basically asks the question, as you know, we said earlier that okay, fine. So now we know that they were Geirim. Now we know that they were wood choppers and that they were and that they were wood choppers and they were water carriers. But does it really matter? Does it really matter why they were Miskayer? So they were Miskayer because they were very nisfal from the stories of B'nai Yisrael. Okay, you know. You could argue maybe that's why Yisrael also came. Like, you know, does it really, once they were in Skyr, does it really matter to us, you know, how and what? So that's why Rashi brings the word melamed to say like this. This pasuk is teaching us much more than just reaches the eye, right? So, in other words, you could read this pasuk and then you could move on. And then Rashi says, no, wait a second. Pause. Melamed. If you take a minute here, you will see that there's a whole story. There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of conflict, you know, hiding behind these seemingly innocent words, right? Because we know that the Torah shares really so little about the seemingly side stories, you know, Torah Milashon Hara, and that's exactly, and only that is what's included in the text. But at some points, the Torah drops like little nuggets. And if we take the time, and, you know, of course, with the help of a Rashi Sicha, we understand that the Torah is also leaving behind clues for us to understand that there's way more than what reaches the eye. So Rashi tells us, Melamed, these words are not stopped. They're here to tell us there's a whole story behind it. What is this whole story? And now let's look at the Rashi. Yeah, they were Geirim. The pasuk tells us they were Geirim. Why is the pasuk singling them out? Ah, melamed. And if you look further in Yeshua, you will find, you know, a very similar situation, right?
So now we're just left with our third question, which was, why did Rashi have to include the word arma? So Rashi includes that word because to sort of to prevent a possible question that might arise when the student then comes to the story of Yoshua. So the story of Yoshua, you could say, why didn't Yoshua act the way Moshe Rabbeinu did, right? Here were people that came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they wanted to be Miskayer because they were so, you know, nispul from what was going on. And here were people that came to Yeshua. And yet Yeshua doesn't act the way Moshe Rabbeinu does. And you could have tainas against Yeshua possibly. So Rashi prevents us from having those tainas by inserting the word arma and said, wait a second. Yes, the situations were similar. And yes, maybe you could even argue, you know, that the end line, the end of the story sort of ends the same way, that you now have war choppers and mortar carriers, so to speak. But there's a critical difference. Moshe Rabbeinu's time, they came to be Miskaya. Yeshua's time, they came Ba'arma. They came totally out of trickery. They never intended to be Miskaya. They never intended to make peace. They totally came from a place of cunningness. So therefore, it's not fair to compare the situation of Yeshua and ask of Yeshua, why didn't he treat them the way Moshe Rabbeinu did? Because the critical detail of the way they were approached was different. The arma, and that's why Rashi includes it, so that we shouldn't, so to speak, judge Yeshua and hold up the standards of Moshe Rabbeinu towards Yeshua, because the circumstances really were different. So we've answered all three questions. The first question as to, are they Geirim, and why are they singled out, and why is it critical for us to know how they were Miskaya? We've answered the question of Melamed, because basically we now understand that the Torah is saying, hey, stop a minute. There's a lot going on over here that we want you to know about by telling you about the water carriers and the water choppers. It's not because in any way we're, you know, saying, we're singling them out in a derogatory manner, but no. We want you to know a little bit of the history of what was going on over here. And when the Pasuk mentions these words, it draws our attention to that. We then look for a similar situation, and we then understand that we could apply it over here. And then we also answer the third question, which is the idea of the arma, to say that, yes, the situations were similar, and yet there was this critical difference, right? Now, miyayna shel Torah, okay? So the Rebbe brings a Yom Yom where he quotes the Alter Rebbe. And the Alter Rebbe takes a whole chassidish of tait to this pasuk. So, mechoyte veitzecha at shoyev meimecha, what does the Alter Rebbe say? Eitzecha miloshen eitzah, from advice givers. Usually, advice givers are not the type of advice you're looking for, right? V'hakavana shetzrichem lichtoif, we need to shock them. V'lasir esha eitzah shehein rabbis machshavas b'leiv ish. When we say mechoyte veitzecha, so the literal translation means your war choppers. The Alter Rebbe said Eitzecha is referring to those, i.e. the cunning individual that hangs out within you, the Yetzirah, who's very good at giving very wise advice at the wrong and the right moment. What do we have to do? Choytev Eitzecha. We need to chop off the advice that this Eitzegeber is providing sometimes, you know, in loop. 24/7, the Eitzegeber is there and ready to give advice and trip us up, right? What does the Alter Rebbe say? You need to be a choytev Eitzecha. You need to chop yourself off from this Eitzegeber. What is a water carrier? B'shoyev meimecha, and a water carrier. Hakavana shetzrichim l'shoyev es hamayim ha-metzmichim kol minei tainuk. We need to draw away. We need to be water carriers, meaning water drawers. We need to draw away the water that is providing, that is nurturing taivas that are not perhaps appropriate, you know, passions or distractions or those kinds of things that up until now we may have been providing some kind of life source, i.e. water too. And now we need to draw that water away from it. So the Alter Rebbe is telling us a wood chopper is one that chops away his connection with the Eitzegeber. Eitzeh, of course, Milashen Eitzecha. And the water drawer, is water is that which nurtures and nourishes. We need to draw away the water from it nurturing perhaps the wrong kinds of things, right?
The Rebbe goes on and he says that when we're in the mode of Yisachar, and what of course is Yisachar, Yisachar is referring to the Yoshvei Oihel, those that sit in the tent, those that are very much occupied and enveloped in the world of Torah.
So yeah, when you're in the Yisachar mode, yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's understood that you're expected to be a wood chopper and a water drawer. But when you're a Zavulon, and a Zavulon, of course, is referring to that element of ourselves that are dealing with Olam Hazeh, and you have to be involved in Gashmias, right? And in order to be doing that, you know, sometimes we tend to lean on the Eitzes, and we tend to allow the water to go and nurture other places, right? But the Rebbe, even about that, the Rashi brings down and he says, no. Chassidus on the Rashi tells us, no. Even when you're in the mode of Zvula, and how do we see that in the Rashi? Because the Rashi tells us, Melamed Shabayu Knanim Lehiskayer. Often Chassidus talks about what are Knanim. Knanim actually means merchants. What's the idea of a merchant? An idea of a merchant is somebody that wheels and deals in this world, right? You know, he buys and he sells for a profit, and then he buys again and he sells further. He's a merchant. Knanim were merchants. Eretz Canaan was a very critical zone in the market at that point, right? So the fact that it says Shabayu Knanim Leskayer is to tell us that it's not good enough to be a wood chopper and a water carrier apichsedes ki'ilu when you're in the mode of Yisachar. Even when you're in the mode of Zvula, even when you're a merchant, even when you're wheeling and dealing in Olam Hazeh, you also need to be a wood chopper. You also need to cut yourself off from the non-stop advice that the, you know, Yetzirah, the cunning Yetzirah, is trying to give you. And you have to not allow yourself to nurture those areas which sometimes, you know, are passions and taivas that are not exactly aligned with the Avodah of Hashem, right? And then the Rebbe says something incredible. The in yichsev yitan, and if you're going to argue, shezoyu avoda kosher piyaser, like, honestly, this is a lot of hard work. Like, mele when I'm a yisachar, but also when I'm a zavulon, like, how exactly do you expect me to get to a place where even while I'm dealing with gashmias, I should be so completely and absolutely in line and attuned and completely, you know, focused on what the Eibishter wants for me and trusting with 100% Amunah that only by doing his ways and totally chopping myself off, right, and drawing away from the other things, that's when I'm going to be successful. You know, it's hard work. And the Rebbe says that, you know what? Rashi also answers that, because what did Rashi say? Who appointed them as wood chopper? These Knanim. These, so to speak, merchants, right? Those times in our life when we are obligated, in a sense, to wheel and deal in Olam Hazeh. Who appointed the Knanim as wood choppers and water carriers? It was Moshe. Shakoyach hazeh bo mitzad b'chines Moshe shebekol echad ve'echad. The Rebbe tells us, where do we get the ability? Where do we have the strength? Where do we have the wherewithal to be able to do what seems taka as a difficult task, because Moshe was the one that appointed the wood choppers and the water carriers, right? Belagabi Moshe shebineshamos kol echad ve'echad miyisrael, because of the little spark of Moshe that resides, that burns, that fuels within each and every one of us, gam avoda hanal, even the avoda described above, the Rebbe describes as milsa zutrosahi. It becomes like a small job. It's a kleinekite compared to everything else, right? So there's the beautiful, powerful takeaway that the Rebbe leaves us with, okay? So, of course, Bashkacha Pratis, we read this parsha in the week also of Chai Elul, and we know that the tremendous chayas that Elul gives, not only, of course, only to the day of Chai Elul, but also to the entire avoida of Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. So I wish each and every one of us that we are able to utilize these kaychas, tap into this chayas, and really feel that spark of Moshe within ourselves and align ourselves with that. And with that, we should be zeiche to a good Geben Shtiyah.